for this month's Mortgage Monthly, brought to you by the fine folks at CU Members Mortgage, we have CU Members Mortgage's very own Yvette Harad talking about spring 2022 housing market trends and secrets to growth. Really good stuff here from Yvette, so check it out. And today we are with CU Members Mortgage's very own Yvette Harad. Yvette, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for inviting me back. It's always a pleasure to connect with you, Mike.
Gosh, my pleasure. You always bring your expertise and your energy, and it's so much fun and informative at the same time. So that's a recipe. In my book, that's a recipe for success. So we're already winning.
I like it.
All right. So cool. So today, Yvette, you are talking about spring 2022, the housing market trends and secrets.
Yeah.
Secrets. All right.
Yeah,
secrets
to
growth in this area. So I'm all right. You got me on pins and needles already. So all right. Shall we dive in, Yvette? Shall we get
going
here?
We shall. Let's do it.
All right. Thank you for that. All right. So first question on the docket here is, will higher rates, as we've seen them inching up the last couple of months here, will they pose a threat to the housing market? I mean, because rates are already above 5%. Who knows what they're going to be after this call today? They might be up a little bit more. So are buyers jumping in, or are they still jumping in, or are they shying away because of the higher rates going on?
Great question. I mean, things are rapidly changing. So mortgage rates are rising at their fastest pace in 35 years. And then what I thought was interesting with
Yvette, where are you?
It's from a 2-year, 10-year high. And then here's the bad news. We predict that surge will continue. And then with higher rates, that's further squeezing first-time home buyers who are already struggling to overcome higher home prices and, of course, limited housing supply. And, you know, we're actually finding some home buyers no longer fall within our traditional qualifying guidelines. And this just kind of give you some percentages. For every 1% increase in rate, the buying power decreases by approximately 10%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so this will also boost all the new home buyers. This is going to increase their monthly expense. And I think we talked about in the past how the cost of everything is jumping between gasoline and the forbidden groceries. So everything's sky high.
No doubt. I think twice today whether I should even drive somewhere because, gosh, do I really want to pay for that gasoline right now? So I'm really thinking twice about going to the grocery store or just driving around in my car. So definitely. Totally get it.
And, you know, when we talk about all of that, that's basically finding that potential home buyers, they're feeling pessimistic about the housing market. But it was interesting that Fannie Mae recently released a survey which stated that the share of home buyers who say it's a good time to purchase, it fell to 25%. So as you can imagine, an all-time low. And so because of all of that, we found this year to be less competitive than last spring when homes were just flying off the market.
What a difference a year makes.
I mean, and we kind of figured it out that we're expecting a 7.4% decline in home sales this year and then another 9.7% next year.
Oh, really? Wow. That much in 2 years. Good grief. Yeah, really, what a difference a year makes. Good grief.
But here's the good news. You know me, Mike. I try to seek some sunshine. Many shoppers are still looking to buy before the rates go any higher, which makes sense. And then as the weather improves, like here on the East Coast, many families are eager to move before the next school year. So about 40% of annual purchase sales take place between March and June. So we're still seeing a high interest. Okay. And then I love keeping up with the National Association of Realtors. They recently said that if half of home buyers price out of the market, they're still seeing 8 buyers for every list.
Really? Well, I mean, that's good news then. So there's still that demand. The demand is still there, right?
Yeah. And then, you know, I know we're talking about the rates jumping to 5%, but I thought it'd be kind of cool to share with you some fun facts.
Please.
In 1980, the interest rate was 13.74%. And then in 1990, the interest rate was 10.13%. So I think it's important to keep that in perspective when we're arguing over 5%. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. I completely agree. That really puts it in perspective. Because I remember my parents way back in the day buying houses and things like that. And like, they were thrilled if they got, you know, 11% or 9% or something like that. They're over the moon about that, you know.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So let's keep that in mind.
Exactly. Thank you for that. Thank you for adjusting our barometer for sure. So that's anything great. Else on that one? Or shall we move on to the next one?
Yes, let's move on. There's so much to talk about today.
We have a lot on the docket today for sure. Hey, so are there any markets where home prices are still, dare I say, undervalued?
Absolutely. There's been a great migration, and it's kind of sweeping the housing market as buyers trying to seek relief from the affordability crisis. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, not in your area or mine, but we are seeing the trend in South and in the Southwest locations. So we're looking at Daphne and Fairhope, Alabama. Believe it or not, they're seeing the fastest population of growth. You also have Huntsville, Alabama, mm-hmm. Springdale, and Rogers, Arizona. Arkansas. Get my mm-hmm. A's mixed up. This particular community witnessed the fastest job growth over the last 3 years. So Arkansas is really doing a good job there.
Good for them.
And then you have your Texas cities. You have Dallas, Fort Worth, and San Antonio. Knoxville, Tennessee, Spartanburg, South Carolina, and then lastly, Tucson, Arizona. Oh. And I just kind of wanted to see, was there some common denominator there? Like, why is everyone kind of flocking to these communities? And so what I found was they're basically attracting new residents because of strong wage and job growth. Mm-hmm, they're also capturing the younger generation and providing improved broadband service, which, of course, is critical to all of us that may be working remote. Also, the real estate is still affordable given the high, relatively median family income in the area. And then lastly, these communities have a population of at least 200,000. So I thought that correlation was pretty significant. Now, I'm sure you can kind of relate to this. Through my research, I did find that San Francisco residents were the nation's most eager to move, followed by Los Angeles, New York.
Yeah, it's expensive.
Washington, D.C., which is my neck of the woods, and Seattle. So they're flocking out of there. I don't know if you're seeing that in San Diego, but they're doing that in my area.
Well, I have a fun fact for you, Yvette, because last year, 2021, was the first year that California experienced a population decrease, whereas more people moved out of the state than people moved into the state. So I get people are flocking to other parts of the country where the cost of living is more affordable, housing is more affordable and available. So yeah, so I totally get what you're talking about here. So yeah.
Yep.
Got that fun fact out there for you.
I like it. Thank you. Look at you bringing new information into the fold. I like it.
We want to have a little value add information here. So so what about the bidding wars? Because there was a lot of that going on this time last year, and it was really big. So will that trend continue? Do you see that continuing this summer during the home buying season?
Yeah, we're going to see a change. So like you mentioned, last year, the bidding war was a norm. And in fact, one point last year, it's reported that 72%, which is nearly 2 in 3 home buyers, faced the bidding war. And in some markets, like in your neck of the woods, we saw a share jump up 83%. So it seems like every other person was dealing with that. So this is what we started to see a decline, though, in November 2021, where it kind of hit the lowest point since 2020. And that kind of equated to 60% of buyers coming up against one. So I thought that was a huge decline. And we're seeing it going forward. We're going to see that decline.
Okay.
Main reason, though, as you could probably expect, is the increase in mortgage rates. It's just basically dampening the buyer demand. And then many buyers are reporting hesitation due to inflation, which I think we can all agree that's understandable.
So that's
pulling back buyer demand as well.
Right.
Many experts are saying that home buyers will increase at roughly half the rate as it did last year. Here's my sunshine with everything. I got to give you both. I found this one very interesting. Realtor.com basically did a survey and they came up with a prediction of 65% of homeowners planning to sell this year. So, you know, if they're going to sell this year and they're expected to do that by the end of the summer, that'll give us a nice small, at least, influx of inventory that's much needed.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, that's a big number. I'm really surprised at that.
Yeah, I don't know what they've been waiting for, but hey, we'll take it.
I'm just kind of hypothesizing here, but I'm wondering if they're anticipating the market leveling off and cooling off and say, hey, you know what, let's sell at the height of the market, so to speak. Maybe I don't see that happening, but I think maybe a lot of those buyers, those 65%, are maybe thinking that things are cooling off since rates are going up as well. So yeah, just a random thought.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're seeing that buyers are still facing a small amount of the bidding wars, but less likely to be as intense or as frequent as last year.
Yeah. It was crazy last year. Very crazy.
It really was.
So, yeah. Anything else on this one, Yvette?
Nope. It's okay. I'm just that decline is going to continue, which I think home buyers will appreciate.
Well, I think so too. I think that's really good news for the buyers because they won't have this intense competition to, you know, once they find their house that they really, really like, the chances are that they're going to get it, as opposed to last year when you heard stories of people going through dozens and dozens of houses that they couldn't get. They would put an offer on and somebody else would sweep in with a big old cash offer or something like that and take it out
from under their feet. Cash offers was definitely the number one issue last year. We're seeing it a little bit this year, but not as much as last year. Okay. So those cash offers definitely can ruin a plan for a home buyer.
A little bit for sure. Definitely. Yeah. The sellers, you know, they're all right with it, but the buyers. Yeah. So it sounds like the pendulum is turning a little bit back toward the buyers now. So that's good news for, all right, let's talk about the M word, millennials. Uh-oh. We're going to be talking about those folks again. So we all know that's been the buzzword for several years now. Mm-hmm. So has it changed or what's going on with this group right now?
Has it changed? Answer, absolutely not, which I think is hilarious because I think we all got tired of saying the word, right?
But yeah, I'm sure they're tired of it too.
Millennials are finally reaching first-time homeowner level. Yeah. And I know it's been a topic of discussion for years. Here's why. Millennials are moving out significantly less often than earlier generations. Their age range is from 26 to 41 years old, and the median age group right now is 33, and that's the biggest in the United States. So when I was kind of digging into this topic, well, let me just share this little secret. I think I've always wanted to dabble in psychology, so I thought it would be intriguing to dig into the minds of millennials just to see how they've transformed consumer behavior.
Yeah,
because believe it or not, they have.
They have.
So let's dig into that. So
all right, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Let me preface this because I think it's important that we can't ignore the important fact that the pandemic has changed a lot of priorities. I think that's a universal conception right now. Wouldn't you agree? Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
You know, couple that with needing more space. For millennials, the family support system is heavily needed. And the main reason for that, and I'm sure you're not surprised, the reason is student loan debt. That's not allowing these new homeowners to save because they need that down payment. We found that millennials tend to rely on their parents 25% more for down payment needs compared to past generations.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And then I also found that the millennials, less of them are married. We're seeing a single female homeownership uptick there, a rise in single mothers, roommates, and unmarried couples purchasing homes together. And then the younger generation is moving to more affordable locations, which we kind of talked about a little earlier.
Right.
Smart and then, move. Of course, they're not relying on living within the city that they work. You know, that's basically because of remote working policies have changed, allowing everyone to kind of move around and not have to parch within the city that they work. Now, something that's really affected me in my circle is we're seeing an uptick in multi-generational homes. We even found a permit data that said they're seeing a huge boost. So what that basically means is you have, like in my example, we're seeing friends and family where one parent passes away and the kids and the surviving parent decide to sell their individual homes and they purchase a home together. So they're looking for something a little bigger, maybe have a mother-in-law suite so they can have their own private area. So we're seeing that. And then this is cool. I think you'll like this is when we talk about the older generation, we're seeing a shift with them. We're seeing the what we call the golden girl phenomenon. And I'm sure you kind of remember that show.
I do. Betty I'm White. Dating myself, but I do remember that. Yes.
Yeah. So it's just basically where widowers and divorcees decide to purchase a home together and enjoy the shared living space. So right. I thought that statistics was a little interesting as well. And then we don't want to forget, I know we talked about millennials. I don't want us to forget about our Gen Zs. Even though they're still a little younger, their economic power is going to grow rapidly.
Yeah.
By 2030, Gen Z's income is expected to represent at least 27% of the total global market. Good, so that's going to be a huge impact on our economy. Yeah. So I didn't want to leave them out. My daughter is a Gen Z, so I didn't want to leave her out.
Oh, good. Good for you. Well, they're on the cusp right now of starting to purchase homes and automobiles, things like that. So they are.
Yeah, she's about 22 and about college. So she's at that where we need to eye them as well.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. All right. Hey, here's another new terminology that's new to me, may not be new to you, but reimagined housing market. Are we living in a reimagined housing market? And before we get into that, can you define reimagined? What is that?
Part of my ignorance. Basically meaning that things and priorities are changing. And as I mentioned before, buying preferences are changing. The demographic profile has changed. Mm-hmm. And so that's basically, this is a fancy word for that. And then we're also seeing a strategic switch in the way folks look at the homes, right? So they're using, we're in a digital age, obviously. So they're using technology to highlight potential homes through video, photos, panoramic views, all that cool stuff, and even to search for outdoor living spaces.
Yeah, yeah.
And then here's what's cool. Well, maybe not for real estate agents, but home buyers are even eliminating the houses that they're searching for right online. So there's no need to travel by car with your agent when you can basically utilize technology to see what home you want to visit and not. So it's just changing that scope. Mm-hmm. And then, so we talked about buyers and then even the seller side, their preferences have changed.
Oh.
And I'm sure you can kind of see this in your market is sellers expect to sell at record time. I know on the East Coast, they're flying off the market in 1 week. Never seen something like that where they're selling in a week. Are you seeing that where you are?
Oh yeah. Within a week easily. some go the first day on the market. So, and even some they're asking what we heard is like, they're asking some real estate agents, they get wind of a house being for sale, say, hey, can we put a bid on it before it goes on the market? So that people are trying to do that. They're trying to do a kind of an end around and get in before it goes on the market. So yeah, there's a lot of that type of stuff going on.
Yeah. And then sellers are no longer required to renovate. We're seeing 1970 wallpaper all over the place. Mike.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
Beautiful. We're seeing outdated kitchens, inoperable AC units. I mean, it's just been astonishing to see the shift. You know, I would say 15 to maybe 10 years ago, right? Everyone's having to remodel their kitchens, repaint everything, new carpet or new hardwood floors. Mm-hmm. Now you're literally putting up the for sale sign as is. And folks are, you know, not only asking for the normal price, but sometimes because of the bidding situation, they're paying more. Yeah. On the East Coast, we're experiencing 80 to 100,000 over the asking price. And I'm sure you're seeing higher numbers over on the West Coast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we are. Yeah. I don't want to say any numbers because it'll make people fall out of their chairs and possibly give them a heart attack. But yeah, it's ridiculous. Some of the amounts that are going over. I heard stories of like $300,000 over asking price in some of the more ritzy neighborhoods. I guess that's what would happen. But we're right there with you. 80,000, 100,000, you know, 150
or more.
That was norm. That was the norm. Out here,
and then sellers are no longer required to provide buyer assistance. You know, just about 5 years ago, sellers were expected to offer at least 3%. I saw a lot of them at 6%. Mm-hmm. So now sellers can, you know, make those contingencies. Yeah. Hey, I'm not providing help.
Right.
You know, so
they have a lot of power right now.
Yeah. So overall, the wants and needs of both the buyer and the seller, as you can see, this is what makes it reimagined. Yeah. It's totally changed the housing ecosystem and the expectations. And here's the thing. I'm curious to see how that continues in the years to come, how that shifts and changes back, or will it?
Yeah. Yeah, and based on what's going to happen with the rates and stuff too. So yeah, it's just there's so many things in the air right now that are dictating where the housing market is going to. Can you connect the dots to? I know this is kind of coming from left field, but can you connect the dots to credit unions on how what their role is in this area as well? So because I think they can be a major force in this area.
Yeah, I mean, I think in order for credit unions to stay successful, I think they should stay laser focused on millennials and, of course, home buying. And here's why. We've seen a 62% decrease in refi business. So purchasing offers are going to be the key to the spring and summer housing season. So we want to focus on purchase business because I find that sometimes credit unions rely too much on refis.
Yeah.
So we need to make that pivot to the purchase market. And then something I think is so important, and I tell all of our credit unions, is that are you collaborating with your local real estate agents and title companies? Forming those important relationships within your community will build a great support system and, most importantly, networking opportunities. And I think we can agree we all need that.
Of course. Yeah. More the merrier, I say. especially when you want to keep that pipeline full, for sure. So yeah, especially during their
home. I hope this information was helpful today. I really do.
Oh my gosh, I love this. I love this stuff. I could talk about this stuff for hours. I'm so fascinated by, like you said, kind of the consumer behavior part of it, the psychology part of it. I'm really fascinated with that. And then how much the interest rates really dictate the market and how much power either the buyers have at one point or the sellers have at one point. Yeah. It just seems to be this roller coaster or this pendulum that just swings back and forth every few years.
Right.
You know, who's got the power, you know? So it's absolutely. From my perspective, it's kind of fun to watch, but I mean, from your perspective, every day's an adventure, I would think.
Yeah, you just really have to stay up on the market and what's changing and how you can affect your member and make them better, you know, educating them as well.
Yep.
So yeah, you have to stay up on it day and night, so it seems.
it's definitely a 24/7 news figure for sure. So alrighty, Yvette, anything else to add to wrap up here? Because I mean, I know things are changing by the minute, but anything else to add to wrap up?
No, I just say stay with us as CU members. For more information, you can go to www.cumembers.com. And thanks again for inviting me. It's always so amazing to work with you and connect.
Well, thank you very much, Yvette. I really appreciate it. But your energy and your expertise just make this so much fun and so valuable, not only for me selfishly, because I get so much out of it myself, because I learn so much from you guys, but I think our viewers as well. They're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that. There was so much in here that I'd like, what? I didn't know that. So I just love things like that. And when you can arm people with this type of information, then they can make better decisions. So yeah, so that's what it's really all about. That's what it's all about.
Well, I'm always available when you need me.
All right. We'll put all that information in the show notes so people can get right to it. And if you missed the record, if you missed the live portion of this or you just caught maybe the last half of it, we're going to post the recording a little later today so you guys can see the entire thing and take notes and then give Yvette a call if you guys need any help. And this is so valuable. So we always appreciate your time, Yvette.
No problem. Thank you. And have a great weekend.
Oh, I'll do my best. Yeah, happy Friday. And so as always, thanks again for tuning in live. And again, you can watch the recording a little bit later today. But tune in again next month when Carrie Fenwick will be here with some of her mortgage expertise. So she'll be here on May 31st, high noon Central Standard Time. So until then, we'll see you in about a month. Be well.